Why did you save me?
Keep you safe.
Where are you?
That's definitely one of the questions we'll be asking about the new movie Warm Bodies, a PG-13 zombie romance that's been shuffling along at the top of the box office. Welcome to the official Plugged In podcast. I'm Bob Hoos, sitting in for Bob Smithhauser. And to help parents through this film about the adolescent undead hungering for love is Plugged In's own Paul Acey. Welcome, Paul. I can see that you're up to par.
Breath mint.
And and after that, we'll be shifting from zombies to, well, demon hunting with a little video gaming insight from Kevin Simpson. What do you have for us, Kevin?
Well, it's Capcom's latest Devil May Cry, and when parents get a load of this thing, it should be named Parents May Cry.
Oh, that's a good one. Well, I guess that means that this will be a podcast full of demon slugs, zombie hugs, an arousing chorus of args. Okay, well, let's get started.
Moving on.
Let's get started. Our sponsor today is Cedarville University, a school, I might add, that is a totally zombie-free zone.
Thank goodness for that.
As well as a great university. And they are currently celebrating 125 years of inspiring greatness. Cedarville University is a Christ-centered learning community recognized nationally for its academic standards. To learn more, please visit cedarville.edu.
And now, here's a little something we like to call Culture Clips.
What's in the news, guys? Paul, go.
All right. You know that this past weekend there was sort of a big sporting event going on, something called the Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if you guys know or about that, but about...
Missed that one.
Yeah. About 108 million people watched the thing worldwide.
Wow.
And surprisingly enough, a lot of them didn't actually watch for the game. They watched for the commercials. The commercials are, of course, a huge deal for Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And it was sort of interesting to sort of watch the tone and tenor of some of these commercials. Now, there's always going to be some problematic commercials that come on, but some of the most popular ones actually had sort of a nice family-friendly type of bent.
I noticed that as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you know, and when you consider that it costs, what, is it $3 million per commercial?
Yeah, 30 seconds or something like that.
Yeah, you would think that they would want to create something like that that would stir people's passions and get them involved.
Yeah, yeah. It was a really remarkable. One of the best commercials I thought was Dodge Rams, So God Made a Farmer.
With Paul Harvey.
Yeah, it was just a beautiful 2-minute, you know, everything. It was made essentially out of these still photos taken by some very famous photographers of these farmers.
Yeah.
And just listening to Paul Harvey's voice sort of roll across that commercial, it was really kind of inspiring. And you don't expect to be sort of inspired by a Super Bowl commercial.
As compared to like the GoDaddy commercial with the
We won't even get into that.
So, Kevin, what do you have?
Well, guys, it's unfortunate, but in my opinion, the greatest generation that ever was around World War II.
Mm-hmm.
And we are losing those folks every year. More and more of them are going away. Patty Andrews of the Andrews Sisters fame, the Boogie Woogie Bugle Boy and all the World War II big time music, died on January 29th. She was 94.
Mm.
And she was in the Andrews Sisters trio. And it's their impact on that time and the music. That had a style. Being a designer, that era had such a flair and style that we can't capture. The cars, the clothing, the whole nine yards, and the music included.
Yeah,
and it's just a shame to see these folks. They continue to drop off, and I hope our schools are teaching our kids what these folks did at that time.
Yeah, because you do sort of worry that the Andrews Sisters music is just going to go away. I actually sort of grew up with some of that music.
Oh, yeah.
Too.
Oh,
you
yeah.
know, it
yeah.
was not that I grew up in the 40s, but my parents were big appreciative people for their music.
Oh, yeah, and all the songs they did with Bing Crosby.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've got the Christmas albums with all that sort of stuff on
now, with her passing, there has been an uptick on iTunes with some of their music, and then there's some popular artists out there that are copying and covering some of the songs, but we're losing the originals.
Well, it's
guys,
certainly part of our culture that we don't want to lose.
Exactly.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, thanks, guys. Those stories are, of course, among the many featured in Plugged In's weekly Culture Clips report, and you can have it sent to your email inbox free as a subscriber to the Plugged In e-newsletter. The E! Newsletter, by the way, also features timely reviews, articles, and movie night discussion starters for you and your kids. And again, you can get all of that for the bargain price of absolutely nothing. It's free. So sign up at PluggedIn.com. And speaking of Plugged In, guys, since only the coolest zombies read Plugged In, let's start talking about zombies. You know, Paul, I've heard it said that in today's day and age of video games, teenagers are probably much more prepared for a zombie attack than they are for the math quiz coming up this week. And so I guess a zombie take on A Tale of Romeo and Juliet isn't a real big stretch for them.
Yeah, you know, it's really interesting how zombies have become such a part of the culture. When you're talking about teens, my teen daughter has actually talked about getting together a zombie kit just in case, you know? I don't know how I would respond to the situation that we have in Warm Bodies where, you know, you have zombies and humans dating. If my daughter brought home a zombie, I think I might have a few problems.
Didn't we just get done with vampires?
You know? Yeah.
So now we've moved on to...
Let's talk about the movie, guys.
Oh, okay.
In fact, this PG-13 movie's 20-something lead has a few things to say about his world, too. So let's listen in.
What am I doing with my life? I'm so pale. I should get out more. I should eat better. My posture is terrible. I should stand up straighter. People would respect me more if I stood up straighter. What's wrong with me? I just want to connect. Why can't I connect with people? Oh, right. It's because I'm dead. I shouldn't be so hard on myself. I mean, we're all dead. This girl's dead. That guy's dead. That guy in the corner is definitely dead. These guys look awful.
So, fill our listeners in on the gist of things here, Paul. Who is this guy? What's his story?
Yeah, you know, the clip actually might mislead some of our listeners. They might think that this guy is pretty coherent. And really, for much of the movie, he's not. I mean, he's a zombie. He's going around. And while he has these thoughts in his head, mainly what he says is... which sort of explains a little bit
so
of his name.
So he's thinking Shakespeare and saying R.
Exactly. Which I guess is a lot of us sometimes. But when you talk about this guy, his name is R, because that's the only letter he can remember from his previous name. So he just is called R throughout the rest of the movie. Right. And essentially he is shambling around like all of his zombie pals, you know, not doing much of anything. He's sort of this shiftless 20-something.
And the world is broken up between a few humans, a lot of zombies, and then these other scarier things that we'll talk about in a little bit.
Exactly. And so that's essentially his life. He just sort of goes around. He actually has kind of a dorm room style airplane. And and so he obviously still retains some of his human faculties. He still vaguely remembers what it's like to be human.
And he collects things.
He collects things. He brings things back from his shambling, shuffling jaunts around town. but then one day he sees this girl, a girl named Julie. And all of a sudden, it does something to him. It almost literally kickstarts his heart. And he starts thinking about humans as something other than food.
You know, what I think I like most about the pick is that it had this simple feel. It was even earnest in some points. But at the same time, it didn't exactly take itself seriously. I mean, there's a lot of layered on teen outcast humor here.
There really is. And I think that that's one of the charms of this movie. You have, obviously, this human-zombie relationship on its surface is a very improbable relationship, which gets back to, you know, your typical teen rom-com where you have the rich girl and the poor guy from opposite sides
Romeo and Juliet.
Exactly. It's always about these opposites attract. And really, you can't get much more opposite than sort of the alive and the
dead. No kidding. Now, in your review, you also found some potential spiritual positives worth discussing that I thought was very interesting. And, of course, that's what you always do since you're this spiritual maverick.
Yeah.
So before you write a book about it, why don't you tell us what you thought?
Yeah, you know, it was really interesting just to watch this movie and sort of explore some of those themes. Because when you think about Christianity, we do a lot of talking about how God sort of brings us back to life. Mm-hmm. We talk a lot about life after death, not just, you know, the afterlife, but how our souls are dead without God, without Christ. And I think that you can bring some of those elements into this movie. The other thing that I really appreciated, sort of going on a spiritual theme, is R and his how he deals with Julie. He is an incredibly patient kind pseudo boyfriend. He protects her. He cares for her. He does all this sort of stuff.
Self-sacrificial. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. And when you're watching this movie, you know, I couldn't help but remember, you know, Paul's statement to the Corinthians, where, you know, it talks about love is patient, love is kind. You mm-hmm. go through that passage and you look at R and you say, man, he fulfills that so much better than a lot of humans.
Yeah. Of course, we are talking about a zombie pick here.
Right.
So even though it's a sweet zombie pick, will potential viewers be dealing with a lot of those typical, I don't know, brain gobbling, spurting bodily fluids sort
yeah,
of thing?
Yeah, it's not as gross as some zombie movies, but it is a zombie movie. You're talking about these desiccated corpses walking around, and once these corpses get to a certain point, once they sort of lose their memories of what it meant to be human, they turn into these really scary creatures called bonies, who just chase. They're kind of skeletonized, and they're quite frightening.
They're not like R.
They're sort of... If, to go back to the spiritual theme, they're sort of beyond redemption. They just cannot be saved. And you do see, you know, zombies with bloodstained faces and you have organs splattering. And you do have some pretty bad language as well.
But not a lot of the flesh-tearing sort of thing.
No, not.
Okay, well, I'm sensing there are still some listeners out there sniffing the air and wondering if you think this rotting zombie and love pick is a typical dead end movie night or something that they could really sink their teeth into.
Oh,
so what do you think?
Man, you use pretty much all my zombie related puns right there. You know, I think it really depends on the family. Obviously, the theme of this movie is going to cause some parents some problems. The swearing is a big caution.
Yeah.
The gore can be a big caution. But for families who feel like they can deal with some of that, navigate some of that, it really is a sweet story. And I don't think that all families will feel like they're being stiffed.
Great.
Oh, wow, you got it in.
Thanks, Paul. We love you. And it's not just for your brains.
Who are you? What do you want?
You were careless. You left a trail. Now he's on to you.
What are you talking about? Who's on to me?
The Hunter Demon. It's too late. You're going to have to fight your way out.
Yep. As I said, we're jumping from zombie devastation to demonic dominion. This new Devil May Cry video game, which is actually fully titled DMC Devil May Cry.
That's right.
Is sort of a reboot of the series that's been around for a while, Kevin, right?
Yes, so it has been.
Give us a little bit of background.
Well, for the past 12 years, the Devil May Cry series has been a global hit. Mm-hmm. The gamers all over the globe love this game, and it has movies and comic books and all the stuff that goes with it.
Right.
They've released 5 titles in this game, and including this one. And as you said, Bob, this is a reboot introducing a new character.
Well, actually, the central character is the same. Dante. Is the same sort of guy, as far as his name, the same guy that we've seen in the past.
Right.
But he's a little different than this time around. He's more of a hard-drinking, hit-the-clubs, date-the-pole dancers type of guy.
Right, yeah.
And so what is it that pulls him from that sort of playboy lifestyle into deciding he's going to slash demons?
Well, he meets up with a guy named Virgil and a girl named Kat, and Virgil is his brother. He didn't know he had a brother. He's been lied to all this time. So Dante is Virgil's brother, and they learn that Dante also learns that he is what's known as a Nephilim. He's not human. He's half angel and half demon. His mother, Eve, was an angel. Mm-hmm. His father, Sparta, was a demon. They got together. You have Virgil, you have Dante. There's the story.
And who are they after?
They're after Mundus, the
right.
evil. He rules the demonic realm in the city they live in called Limbo City.
Mm-hmm.
And on the outside, Limbo City looks like Colorado Springs. It looks like a place you'd want to live. But honestly, once you, with demonology and the religion of Wicca,
yeah.
you can enter the real Limbo City if you're Nephilim, which is Dante.
Sort of like a parallel...
Parallel universe,
yeah.
It's flipped upside down and it looks completely different. It's not what it looks like on the outside. It's ruled by demons, and head of those demons is Mundus.
And Dante's got to sort of save the world.
Dante is working his way through.
Okay, now we review a lot of popular M-rated titles throughout the year, and a lot of times they have their problems because of, you know, some nastiness or another.
Yeah.
This one, as I played a little bit of it, seemed to sort of cover all the bases. I mean, there was a lot of content in this game.
It's got a lot of bad stuff in it. Parents, kids, steer clear of Devil May Cry because it's loaded with demonology, Wicca, pole dancers, foul language.
There's, well, and some near nudity. In fact, there were even sections where you can look at pictures where there is nudity.
Yeah, the oil paintings that serve as the cutscenes and some of that stuff, the splash screens as you play through the game. So there's a lot. It's laden with it's definitely earned an M rating.
And lots of violence as well.
Yeah, it's over the top. What was that? Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon meets anime kind of. It's just way over the top violence where you throw somebody in there, keep them suspended, and spin your sword around and like a saw blade and this kind of stuff. It's really visceral.
Chop them in chunks and Anyway,
Dante isn't like R. He's not a lovable.
No, this one definitely earns, nasty, as you said, it's M rating. And gamers should be well aware of that before they start trying to save the world in this particular virtual realm.
Right.
So thanks for that quick breakdown, Kevin.
You got it.
Now here's a little Facebook feedback.
And now I want to take just a minute or two to respond to a Facebook post sent to our Facebook page. Janice Anderson posted, "Why can't Plugged In also review books? It would be so helpful, even though books aren't as popular as movies and music." And the answer, Janice, is a very warm, we agree. We agree so much that we actually have a book review section. And although we haven't tried to make it difficult to find, I guess we've failed on that front. So for all those people wondering about book reviews, where are they, Paul?
If you go to our homepage, you can find a link down at the very bottom of the page. Scrolling all the way down, you'll find a link to book reviews. They're written by our friends at Focus on the Family. And they cover so many different books. Yeah. I think it's a pretty good resource.
A lot of young adult books I know are there too.
Yeah, absolutely.
So there you go. Thanks for the post, Janice. And that about does it for this official Plugged In podcast, a presentation of Focus on the Family. I'm very glad you could spend a little of your time with us today, guys. I also want to thank Paul Acey, Kevin Simpson, our engineer Dave Saukeld, and of course, our sponsor, Cedarville University. Please check out their website at cedarville.edu. Our featured Christian musician this time around is the band Red and their tune, The Moment We Come Alive, which actually sort of fits this podcast pretty perfectly, doesn't it? A song that happens to be on their brand new album that just came out this week called Release the Panic.
Which also fits.
Yep. And don't forget to check us out on PluggedIn.com for all your media needs because, as we all know, it's not just entertainment.
The official Plugged In podcast is a production of PluggedIn.com and Focus on the Family.